This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Podcast presented by betonline.ag here on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. The wait is finally over. Football is back. Week three is among us. And you might not be at the game this year, at least not for most of us, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. We are now 9-4 here at the Believe in New York Football Podcast. So continue to trail, continue to fade, do whatever you want to do, but we are pumping out winners here from game spreads to totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options and wagers than any place online, and there is always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am your host, Steven Tino Rodriguez, as always. And you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Believe website, BLEAV.com. Like, download, rate, and subscribe. Be sure to also follow us on Twitter at NYFootballPod and at Tino Rodriguez with a double underscore. We have a lot going on. We have a lot to get to today. The Big Ten and Rutgers football is officially back. Army has moved into the top 25. We have the best bets of this upcoming weekend, which again are going to continue to be winners. A recap of the Jets and the Giants past games and upcoming games. And the Mage from Clapback Sports will join me to discuss the Giants' upcoming matchup with San Francisco and talk about some key fantasy pickups to watch out for after a completely wacky week of injuries this past NFL weekend. But to start, let's quickly get you caught up on all going on with the Big Ten. And as we've covered on this show, there has been ups and downs of the talks about canceling, suspending, postponing, bringing back the Big Ten this season into the spring. You know, a million ideas and options, and no one knew what the Big Ten was going to do similar to the Pac-12. But it had appeared that the Big Ten was going to be played in the spring until President Trump got involved and had a sit-down with the Big Ten commissioner. And then things started to slowly trend and, you know, go towards the direction of the Big Ten playing this fall. Now, there was a lot of what-ifs, but after everything has settled, officially, the Big Ten will begin their 8-game season on October 24th, nearly 1 month away. So what does that mean for Rutgers? Well, they're there. They're going to play, and they're going to hit the road and face off with Michigan State in that first game on October 24th, which is kind of ironic because those were the two teams that the Big Ten were kind of scared by due to the team shutdowns and the COVID outbreak. So I guess it's only right that those two teams face off and just see what happens in the long run. But RU's schedule will look like this. They're at Michigan State to start on the 24th. They will head home to play Indiana the next week, get back on the road to face off against Ohio State. Then they're home for two against Illinois and Michigan. They'll hit the road against Purdue. Then are home for their final home game against Penn State. And then end the season on December 12th at Maryland. So get excited, RU fans, because football is nearly here for you guys. Hopefully Coach Schiano has the guys ready to go after what was an extensive offseason for the Big Ten. But let's go from one college team waiting to play to a college team that currently looks like an absolute wagon. And this is no surprise to me, but could be a surprise to some people. But the Army Black Knights are undefeated here at 2-0 and are now into the top 25 at number 22 overall, following their 37-7 home win against Louisiana Monroe. Army went 2-0 to start their season, but will easily face their biggest test of the season as they head on the road to face number 14 Cincinnati, who is only 1-0. Now, the Bearcats have a smaller sample size than Army. Everyone has a small sample size at this point of the season, but the Bearcats have only played Austin Peay and blew them out 55-20. But the one big takeaway is that the Bearcats will look to run the ball and mix it up with their dual threat quarterback in Desmond Ridder. Now, luckily for the Black Knights, they stop the ball when they stop the run almost better than anyone in the country. They only allow 56 rush yards per game, which is fifth best in the FBS. Now, vice versa, Cincy actually struggles to stop the run, and they struggle to stop Austin Peay, allowing 140 rushing yards. Now, led by quarterback Christian Anderson, Army leads the nation in rushing yards per game with 389.5 rushing yards. Now, Army is going to open this game as 14-point dogs on the road, but I'm going to ride with them. I really like the Black Knights here. You know, every year people doubt them when they play one of those ranked opponents, especially when they're ranked. They think, you know, they kind of don't belong because they're Army and whatnot. Well, they played Oklahoma tough. They played Duke tough. They played teams that end up ranked inside that top 25 that no one thinks that they're going to hold up with. And they end up keeping it one possession games and whatnot. They even kept a one score game with Michigan not too long ago. So do not sleep on the Army Black Knights going on the road as a ranked opponent against another ranked opponent and just think, hey, because it's Army, they're going to roll over. 14 points is a lot. That's a two-score game. And in an Army-style offense where they control the run a lot, where they control the clock with the run a lot, I would not be surprised if they don't get behind here too often and could easily cover that 14 points. So I like the Black Knights here to really keep pace with the Bearcats and potentially even win this game outright. But I will take the 14 points and just play it safe and lean on Coach Munkin and the squad to really establish the run and control the clock and keep the Bearcats at bay with their own dual threat quarterback. But with that said, we had a lot of NFL action, and we're going to move over to the NFL side of things. And we'll start again by briefly talking about the New York Jets. Now, the New York Jets matchup with the Niners was over before it actually began. Raheem Mostert took the first play of the game and took it 80 yards to the house for a touchdown. And I know all Jets fans everywhere had their heads between their knees thinking, well, here we go again. And naturally, you thought it would get progressively worse. They were probably going to get absolutely blown out. And they didn't. Even though they lost, they got very fortunate in terms of their field pretty much disabled the entire San Francisco 49ers team. There's a huge controversy on the MetLife turf right now saying that it could be a leading cause to all the injuries. Although it seems just like a conspiracy theory at this point, it is wild that the 49ers ended up with significant injuries to Nick Bosa with a knee injury, Raheem Mostert, Solomon Thomas, and Jimmy G. Oh, and backup running back Tevin Coleman also got hurt. But the point being that the Jets only lost 31-13. Now, they were down 21-3 at half, down 24-6 entering the fourth quarter. So there wasn't many signs of life here. Not much hope to go around. They didn't score a touchdown until the latest point of garbage time possible, all the way at the end of the game on a 30-yard pass on a nice play from Sam Darnold. It actually was a solid scramble on a 7-play, 80-yard drive to Braxton Berrios. But not much hope coming from the Jets side here because it just looked bad for the most part. And I know I go on here every week and essentially kind of bash the Jets. And I'm not trying to. It's just, it's not going to happen under Adam Gase. That's all it is. The Jets are 31st in scoring this season. 15 points per game. That's only 1 point better than the Giants, who we'll get to later. But they've scored 14 of their 30 points in garbage time. Not even a relevant point of the game. So they could be ahead of the Giants, but the Giants have scored touchdowns on opening drives or in first quarter, second quarters. The Jets are just doing it at the end of the game when the game's completely done for. And the Jets under Adam Gase overall, and I've broken down these stats plenty of times, but another look at it, it's not great. Less than 300 total yards offense, 12 since he's been a head coach. That's leading the league in the worst over that span. Games with less than 20 points, 12. He's tied for worst with Cincy and Washington. Games losing by 10-plus points, 9. That's third worst, trailing Miami and Washington by just one game. And so it's not great. The offense is lacking significant weapons. Frank Gore is not the answer. And they just look lost right now. They look lost. And Sam Darnold is a big-time casualty for this. And I'm not sure how things exactly just get better for the New York Jets. I mean, they're going to get worse before they get better. They hit the road here and take on the Indianapolis Colts. And what I would worry about if I'm a Jet fan is that this Colts team, similar to the Niners, are just going to run the ball down your throats. So for the defense, and shout out to Michael Nania on Twitter, Michael_Nania, for these stats. The Jets are leading the NFL in missed tackles. The Jets defense have given up 6 touchdowns on 9 first half drives. That's worst in the league at 66%. No other team has allowed over 50% touchdowns in the first half. But the thing is, the Jets run defense, it's just wonky in terms of they allowed a 55-yard conversion on 3rd and 31. And then an 80-yard touchdown on the first play. And like these big chunks, yet they've also picked up 10 tackles of no gain or no loss. And yes, sure, garbage time at times. But there was only one in the fourth quarter. And so they held San Francisco to 1.4 yards a carry outside those 3 big plays. Now, the thing is, yes, Mostert and Coleman were hurt most of the time. But the Colts are a team that they're going to wear you out. That O-line pounds the ball. And they're going to wear you out and wear you out and then break one. So as much as it's encouraging to see Quinnen and company really hold the fort down on the interior line, they're just going to get worn out by the Colts. I just don't see how they don't. Now, the Colts are a double-digit point favorite, so I can't commit to a double-digit point favorite at any point normally. I have to really sway myself, and the Jets are struggling, so if there was a team to take those points on, it'd probably be against them as the Colts are home and the Jets have to go on the road. But I'm worried about this Jets team. It's going to get way worse before it gets any better, and it doesn't help hearing Woody Johnson come out week after week and say Adam Gase is an offensive genius and so on and so forth, when very clearly, as the numbers state, he is not. He is not that, and it's not even close. So enough of that. Let's move on to the G-men, which is only going to get this even more somber. Because in what should have been a joyous day with Daniel Jones, finally, for the first time playing with all his pieces in Evan Ingram, Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, and Saquon Barkley, it turned into an absolute nightmare. And I don't want to harp on this too much because it was just a sad game. To see Saquon go down and out like that, and despite thinking the game was over and done with, you know, after that injury, the team did show heart. It's just so disheartening to see your guy, your team's best player, the number 2 pick not too long ago, just go down like that. Non-contact, really. I know he was going down to the ground, but it looked like he got hurt prior to Eddie Jackson even hitting him. It was just a sad game, a sad day, and, you know, a sad point for the season to really be up in arms this early, just 2 weeks in. But with that said, there is news that the Giants are working out Devontae Freeman, We have Goldman. We have Deion Lewis. So that's going to be the short-term plan. But I guess the biggest bright spot, and we'll go to positives and negatives here, had to have been the defense. The defense answered the bell, shut out the Bears in the second half, despite that lackluster first half from the Giants being down 17-0. And they put together multiple turnovers against Mitch, which was great. They had two picks, four sacks, and despite missing McKinney and a cornerback too, we were able to hang around and make plays. With that said, that's going to be in our negatives, but despite missing a guy who should be in our starting secondary and a cornerback too, we still feel the need to play man-to-man at all times of the game, which is just frustrating. But let's start with the biggest positive, okay? James Bradberry. What a freaking play by him on the sideline there for that pick. I think he's had a great game every week so far. I thought he had a great game against the Steelers, and he has been as good as advertised, at least for us so far. If there's one thing we can rely on that defense, it has to be Bradberry right now. I mean, he balled out, and he is proven to be worth the money so far. So it is great to see that Bradberry's paying off. Same thing with Blake. Blake has looked really good. Evan Engram, he had what some would consider a better day. I would consider it that. Not much, but 6 for 65 on 8 targets, even though he slipped and pretty much caused a pick for Danny Dimes early into the game, which was crucial because we were attacking the red zone and we could have used those 3 points in the long run there. But Evan Engram had a better game. And Daniel Jones, man, he doesn't give up. He is a baller, and I know the Twitter heads are talking shit. They want to tell everyone that, well, if the Giants are in a position at 1-1, they got to take Trevor. Let's see if the Giants get 1-1, okay? Everyone signed them up for getting Chase Young at 1-2, and we couldn't even do that right. So let's tread lightly here. Let's just remember the other teams that are desperately struggling right now. And we are not the only team with an injury. I know we lost Saquon, but it's pump the brakes for me because we still have Washington and the Eagles and the Cowboys in our division, which are absolute toss-ups. All we have to do is win a handful of those games, and we will not be the 1-1. But the negatives, it's got to be the O-line to start, guys. The injuries, yeah, but that's not really a negative. That's out of your hands. It's out of your control. Sterling also going out, not great. But Nick Gates struggling at center. The video of him trying to do a hard count there on 4th and 3, and he doesn't even have his hand on the ball. Yeah, that's baffling. And not only that, it's not just him, the O-line. We've allowed the second most pressures over the first 2 weeks at 56. We're one behind the Texans for the league lead. That's not good. I mean, it really isn't, and I get it. We play the Steelers and the Bears, two fierce pass rushes. But I mean, we're going to get fortunate playing the 49ers without Bosa and Solomon Thomas, but it doesn't get any easier. I mean, good teams have good pass rushes. That's why you need a good O-line. And Andrew Thomas is going to be a trial by fire guy, but a lot of these other guys on the O-line need to figure it out because it's not pretty. And Danny's running for his life, and he had another fumble. The picks are kind of out of his control, but what are we going to do? What are we going to do with 56 pressures in 2 weeks? Guy's running for his life. He made an incredible play at 1.7 up in the pocket to keep a drive alive, flipping it to Deion Lewis, where he's getting trampled. And if that wasn't enough, if the O-line wasn't helping him, his receivers are dropping everything. We have 5 drops from receivers. That doesn't even include Evan Engram, and that's second worst in the league. I mean, we probably have more drops than anyone. So it's a lot of things right now, mainly on the offensive side of the ball. And it's clear because we're the worst offensively in the league right now in terms of points per game because we don't start playing football until the fourth quarter. And so we're going to have a shorthanded 49ers team staying here at MetLife in shambles without Sherman, Solomon Thomas, Nick Bosa. Significant parts of their team. Don't even get me started on the offense. We already talked about that. So this is a prove-it game for the Giants. There should be no excuses. They had a similar situation like this not too long ago where they went on the road against San Francisco before they got Jimmy G when they were struggling on Monday night and we won it at the buzzer. I would prefer if this game didn't take until the fourth quarter, but this team needs a win bad. And this offense, I know we don't have Saquon. They need to figure it out. one way or another, because 0 points in the first half ain't going to cut it. And leaving points off the board, punting inside the 50 to open games, bad looks. We can't leave 3 points off the board. We can't afford missed field goals. It's little things that are killing us down the stretch, because then we don't have to go for touchdowns to win the game. We can settle for field goals and take the lead that way. But they're killing us. They're killing the Giants. And the play calling on third down on defense doesn't help. I get that. The man-to-man stuff is still baffling. On third and eight, with a dinged-up secondary, and we just expect everyone to be covered with guys who weren't even on the team not too long ago. And I get it. They're professionals. But it's not working. It's not working. I can't see these big breakout plays and blown coverages on third down on man-to-mans because we can't pick up running backs out of the backfield because we're asking too much out of guys who weren't even on the team. So they got to figure it out. This is a big prove it week for the Giants, but they got to figure it out. Now, with that said, I'm going to get you guys ready here for Show Me the Money, everyone's favorite segment. This is the bright spot of the show. We're going to start to get things going up and up with winners and winners again before we even get into the segment. 9-4, 5-1 last week. That's with a Thursday and Monday night pick, 3 at 1 o'clock, 1 at 4 o'clock, Sunday night. We got everything covered here. Expect the same right here. I'm going to give you guys a ton of picks. All of them will be winners. Here we go. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah. Louder. Show me the money. That's it, brother. But you got to yell that stuff.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell.
Show me the money.
So here we are again. As I stated, I'm going to give you guys a pick for every game I could possibly give you a pick for, and we'll start on Thursday night. Jags versus Dolphins. That's similar to last week. It's a bit of a poop game. It could either be really good or really bad. Now, last week, I said for similar reasons, I was going to take that over at 44.5 or 45 or whatever it was, and it covered easily because it was ugly. It looked like it wouldn't hit, and then it hit. That's a poop game. This is a similar one. You got Fitzmagic versus Minshew. The Jags love to score points. The Dolphins haven't seemed that way, but showed it last week against the Bills, who have a very stingy defense. So with the over sitting at 47.5, I just really like for points to be scored in this game with both of these teams kind of in between on what the heck they actually are. The Jags look like they can compete even though they don't have anyone on their team. They thought they were going to tank for Trevor. Apparently, they don't know that. Fitzmagic is still playing quarterback with Tua behind him. It's nuts, but here we are. Dolphins-Jags bang the over at 47.5. That's a winner. Then we're going to stick with our guys from last week who won us the game against the Dolphins in the Bills. And we're going to go Bills money line here against the Rams. The Bills will be at home. Now, I know the Rams seem like a wagon, and they played very well, and I liked them last week against the Eagles, actually. That was one of my picks on the side here, not on the New York Football Pod, but they were a dog by 1 point, and they covered. Now, the Bills, even though they got, you know, narrow at the end there against the Dolphins, are an absolute brick shithouse. It will be a slugfest. It's about a 2.5-point spread, 2-point spread, if I'm not mistaken. It's a little too close for comfort. I don't know how this game's going to end, but I do like the Bills at home to win this. It's going to be very close. Might come down to a field goal. Give me Josh Allen in a prove-it game. I just like what they have going on right now over there in Buffalo. With them returning home after being in Miami, no one circles the wagons better than the Buffalo Bills, and I think they'll do that again. My next pick. Sunday at 1 p.m. Again, this is the Sunday at 1 p.m. slate here. So the Bills are going to play the Rams at home. And now the Giants will also be at home. Now, I know this is crazy, but last week I told you guys they will at least cover the spread against the Bears. So I'm going to take the Giants here, plus 4.5 against the disheveled, just destroyed San Francisco 49ers, who are just trying to figure it out right now against New York and MetLife Stadium, because I don't know what happened. But everybody got hurt. So if the Giants can't figure it out against this team of Jerick McKinnon, Nick Mullins, and whoever the heck is alive on defense, because Sherman's still not there from the week before, I don't know when they're going to figure it out. So I'll take the 4.5. If the Giants lose, it's got to be at least be by a field goal. No excuse. Now we're going to head over to the 4 p.m. games. Another team, another two teams, shambled with injuries here. We're going to take the Bucks over Denver. Now, they're going to be on the road. They're a six-point favorite. It's a little crazy. I don't love favorites on the road in Denver. But there's an exception here. They're working out Blake Bortles. It's iffy if they're going to sign him. I think they will in Denver. I'm not sure if he's going to be the starting quarterback this week or if it's going to be Jeff Driskel. Either way, Cortland Sutton also out. Phillip Lindsay out. The Bucks have a stout defense. They have Tom Brady. I just think 6 points. That means seven can cover. A touchdown win will do it. It might not be pretty. It's a little weird of a game, but I like the Bucks here. They looked really good last week against Carolina, and I'm going to take the Bucks here minus six. Moving on in the 4 p.m. games. Two teams that got shambled with injuries. The Chargers against Carolina. I'm going to take the Chargers minus 6.5 at home versus the CMC-less Carolina Panthers. It appears Tyrod Taylor will start for the Chargers, which I don't think makes any sense because Justin Herbert looked amazing against a solid Chiefs team. But it is what it is. Either way, I just really like the running game between Joshua Kelly and Austin Eckler there in Los Angeles. I almost said San Diego, Los Angeles. Again, under a touchdown, I think the Chargers can do that. They love one-possession games. I know they like to keep things to a field goal. This might be a one-possession game, but just in terms of a touchdown, we're hoping for that 7, 6.5 is a sweet spot. I'll take that 6.5. Again, these are early lines. Look for the movement of these lines. They'll tell you a story, and you'll have a good idea on which way to lean the game. But try to get the Chargers under 7. They love one-possession games, but that'll still be good to cover the 7. Now, going to Sunday night. They hurt us. They were only loss. The Saints. Saints killed us. But they return home, and they're going to play the Green Bay Packers. Now, the over is sky high here, way higher than the Monday night game, which is going to be the best matchup of the entire weekend, which is very odd to me, but I guess because the Saints just got ran over by the Raiders, and the Packers look like, you know, they could score a billion points on the shambled Detroit Lions team, the over sky high. I'm not even going to look at the over. We're going to take the Saints here. And I'll take them with the points, the minus three. I think there should at least be a field goal. If anything, it'll push. But the prop to look out for here, if Michael Thomas continues to be hurt, if Emmanuel Sanders continues to go missing, there's only one place to look for the Saints. It's Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara to score 2 touchdowns is the bet, I'm telling you. I like Saints minus three, but a little sprinkle on that prop. It hit me on Monday night. Yes, I know you're all looking. Well, you know, it happened late. Doesn't matter if it happened late. It happened. Look for that Kamara 2 touchdowns. I also like if there's going to be a bunch of points scored here, look out for Traquan Smith. Look out for Taysom Hill. You know Taysom Hill loves those primetime games. Don't sleep on him. Sneaky. And you can get good odds. Maybe even first touchdown. I don't know. We're looking too ahead. Too many bets there. Saints Kamara. Stick that. And then on Monday night, Chiefs versus Ravens at Ravens. The Ravens are going to host the Super Bowl champions. A future potential AFC championship matchup here against two of the most dynamic offensive players in our generation. And yet the over is at 53.5. That's insane. I'm going to crush the over here. I'm going to tease it up. I might even take it at 60. This is one of those games. It reminds me of that Chiefs-Rams game from a couple years ago when the over was at like 59, 60, and everyone was worried about it. Oh, will it go? And then they score like 100 points. These teams, honestly, I know the Ravens' defense is great, and the Chiefs' D is solid. They're going to score a billion points. Book it. 53.5 is not enough. One of these teams is scoring 30. Easily. And the other one, you can't convince me, is not going to score 3 touchdowns. Take the over at 53.5. That's an easy bet. That's a guaranteed winner. I don't even need to look at the results. That's a winner. If you want to tease it up, if you want to get some points up on that over, buy some points going up, help your odds out, get some positive odds out of it, you should definitely do so. Maybe get it like 55, 56, who knows. Go to 60. Join me in the 60 club. I'm also going to sprinkle on the Chiefs money line here. The Chiefs, whenever they're an underdog, and they're probably an underdog here, mainly because they struggled against the Chargers this past weekend. But plus 155, just going to note, Lamar Jackson has not beaten Patrick Mahomes yet. So until then, I will always take the Chiefs whenever I can on the money line as an underdog. But you heard it here, guys. One more time, roll it back over 47.5 for Thursday night. Bills money line, Giants spread on Sunday, 1 p.m. 4 p.m. Bucks minus 6. Chargers minus 6.5. Sunday night, give me Kamara. And the Saints minus 3. Chiefs, Ravens over on Monday night. And we will sprinkle on that Chiefs money line. Again, guys, we are 9-4 on this show. We're going to keep these winners coming. And let's get it going. Let's get it going. Football is in week 3 here. With that said, let me get you guys ready for my interview slash discussion here with my good friend, The Mage from Clapback Sports. We preview and talk about the Giants' upcoming game with the 49ers. We're also going to throw some fantasy talk in there for you guys who are suffering dearly with injuries. Of course, I'm talking to you guys with CMC and Saquon, but there's a million other things going on, Cortland Sutton. So here's some guys. I know waiver wires will be over and done with by Wednesday, but some people to keep an eye on, maybe if they don't get picked up, if you're in a deeper league, some guys that you really want to look for that are probably floating around out there that are definitely going to get some looks by their team coming up. So without a further ado, here he is, The Mage. All right, now I have the great pleasure of introducing a good friend of mine. You know him from Clapback Sports. You also know him from being on the show more than anyone ever since the show has begun. Mage, I don't know why you keep coming back, but here you are again, and I'm glad that you're here.
Well, thank you, Tino. I'm glad to be back. And I keep coming back because you told me if I don't, you were going to release those scantling photos that I sent you.
We don't talk about that. This is on the record. By this going out, it's now on the record, Mage. It's all right. And
you call me a good friend, but then you tell me offline, you know nothing about me. You don't even know who I am, what my name is, like nothing. But
I'm not mistaken. You told me that you know me more than I know myself.
Oh, so you got to be careful.
I think you're just trying to mind fuck me and it's not working. Okay. Mage, I have you on primarily here because we are in the midst of fantasy football pandemonium. Shit has hit the fan. Everybody's getting hurt.
This is like the perfect time to like drop the visual meme of like the dog sitting around with all the fire around them. And he's like, everything is fine.
Only the top two picks of fantasy football are both out. It's not even that big of a deal. It's not like all three, you know? Imagine the top three were out. No, just the top two. Obviously, the one that holds true to us or carries the most weight is Saquon Barkley, our guy.
Well, before we go on, right, I just want to say something because imagine – I don't know about you, Tino. I'm in quite a few leagues, all right? I do some dynasty and I do some redraft. I mean, I seen Alvin Kamara and Zeke Elliott go as far as the late first round. I mean, we're talking about 8th pick, 9th pick, 10th pick. Alvin Kamara and Zeke Elliott, imagine fading those guys, and for what reason? I mean, people are fading Zeke Elliott because of what, McCarthy? And then what about Kamara? I mean, all Kamara has done since he's come into the league is produce. But can you imagine now if you're stuck like with some fucking schmuck that, you know, and because you took Saquon Barkley and McCaffrey, and look, I don't blame anybody for taking Saquon and McCaffrey 1 and 2, but imagine having like that third or fourth pick and you passed on them for like, say, Nick Chubb, who's splitting time with Kareem Hunt instead of taking the sure thing and Zeke or Kamara. Mate,
even the Michael Thomas stands. The Michael Thomas stands out there that are saying, you know, there's a realm out there where Michael Thomas went 3 because people were fading Kamara and Zeke. There is somewhere where that all three top three picks probably are injured now. But to your point, I got Kamara 6th in a league, which is still deep, not 9. That's far, though, for a guy who's now going to be probably the top running back in fantasy.
So for me, the top 4 picks always until the wheels fall off on one of them, it's Saquon, Christian McCaffrey, Zeke, and Kamara. Like, if those aren't your top 4 picks, then somebody in your league is doing something wrong. Yeah. I know that people love Michael Thomas because, you know, he's a PPR monster. I faded him strictly in dynasty leagues. I like him more in redraft. But just because I don't know what that future holds. I mean, and we saw it with the Saints game yesterday. I mean, Drew Brees just doesn't have the ability to throw a deep ball anymore. I mean, you know, that's good for Michael Thomas in PPR leagues, but I don't know, man. I'm just not confident in that offense going forward. I think it might actually benefit them to put Jameis Winston in.
Well, that's true in terms of big play potential, but in terms of game managing, Drew still has it. I think we saw it last night during Monday Night Football. Again, to your point, though, it's just nuts that someone can take Michael Thomas over some of those big running backs. It baffles me. I don't understand. I don't see him as the best wide receiver in the NFL. So I don't know why you would take him third overall in fantasy. I understand he's a PPR monster, but not even – that's the thing. Not even all the leagues are full-point PPR. So it's whatever. I digress, Mage, and let's try to wrap our head around now the future without Saquon. What are we going to do? Shit has hit the fan. Well, immediately we went to Deion Lewis, someone we've had. And if you were wondering – we only had him. It was either him or Eli Penny behind Saquon. So a lot of Deion Lewis's numbers may be diluted. He's probably not going to get all the work. And mainly also because the Giants just made a splash with signing former Atlanta Falcon Devontae Freeman. Mage, I know you're a Devontae Freeman guy because I went to pick him up in a league and you already have him. So why don't you tell the people why you like Devontae Freeman? Maybe not only as for the Giants, but in terms of fantasy as well.
Well, in terms of having Devontae Freeman before you could pick him up, that's just being a smart fantasy football player. I mean, that has nothing to do with liking a guy or not. I mean, I would sell my own mother for a first-round pick if I could. but let's talk about the fallout of the New York Giants, first of all, right? This is going to get super, super interesting. And I was talking to my boy Chris today at Mr. Chris 172 on Twitter. I mean, this is going to be the ultimate litmus test for the New York Giants. Okay? This will either make or break all the ghetto grumps that say running backs don't matter. Okay? If the Giants can come out and if they use a 1-2 punch like they did, back when they had Earth, Wind, and Fire, right? Back when they had Thunder and Lightning. If they come out and they use Devontae Freeman to run in between those tackles and they use Deion Lewis more in the passing game, and it's successful, I love Saquon, man. I really do. But I'm sorry. I don't know what the future holds for him as a New York Giant. The guy is a super talented running back. But if the Giants can get the ball moving and the running game moving, and granted, it's only two games that Saquon really had with his new offense. The first game we saw, he only had 6 yards rushing, and I think before he left, he had 4 attempts for 28 yards or something, if I'm not mistaken. So he played a lot better in the second game or up until the injury. But what does this do for the overall offense? And that's what I'm most interested to see, right? Because with Saquon Barkley in there, you have defenses that are going to stack the box. If you stack the box, and Chris and I were talking about this, but my question is, what does that do for the offensive play calling, and what does that do for Danny Dimes and Nick Gates, who's playing center? If you stack a box, but Nick Gates is playing center for the first time, this is Danny's second year, are they able to pick up those blitz recognitions? Are they able to identify the mic? Are they able to call the right protections when a box is that loaded? So without having Saquon, they may not see eight in the box as frequently anymore, which might open up things for Danny Dimes. So he might be able to actually survey the field a lot better, and it might actually slow the game down for him. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
That makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, that's interesting. I didn't even think of it from the aspect of, yeah, I mean, what's the Giants offense going to look like now that the box isn't going to be as heavily stacked? I think if anything, defenses are going to pass rush more, and you'll see that because the Giants will be more committed to letting Danny throw the ball. I mean, he threw the ball 40 times last game. Obviously, that's going to put more pressure on an offensive line, but honestly, right now, I don't see us magically getting better at running the ball. Now, to your point, if Devontae Freeman somehow starts breaking off and has a resurgence and finds success on this offense, I mean, it'll definitely raise an eyebrow. It'll definitely ask some questions. But to counter then, you talk about Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you talk about, you know, so on and so forth, just with Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw and just having double running backs. Here's the Giants maybe playing with house money. You bring in a guy like Devontae Freeman, Who's to say when they bring Barkley back and he's rehabbing, you don't have the both of them? Or you even keep Deion, and then Deion's the third spellback. I mean, I would really like all three of those guys. Now, in terms of fantasy, I'm sure that's not what Dynasty Saquon owners want to hear, three guys in the backfield. But obviously, when we had Earth, Wind & Fire, we had 2,000-yard rushers. So to my point and your point is just, I think if Devontae can go off, that's just better for the Giants. And it should be, you know, a sign in the right direction for the offensive line, because they haven't figured it out yet. I'm hoping they can get that communication down. But Nick Gates is scaring the shit out of me, Mage. He's scaring the shit out of me. They try to go hard count on 4th-and-3, and he didn't even have a hand on the ball.
Well, to be fair, I know a lot of people pointed that out, but I didn't even notice that Nick Gates didn't have his hand on the ball until after that game was over, and then we saw the clips. But I did notice right from it, I said, who's falling for it? No one's going to jump, because Danny's body language looked like he had no interest in receiving a snap. I didn't even know that Nick Gates didn't have his hand on the ball, but the body language across that entire offense just seemed like they had no interest in taking a snap at all. You weren't fooling the defense.
That's fair.
But
that's fair.
Another thing, though, too, that Chris brought up today, and I like to give credit where credit's due, so I apologize if I keep mentioning his name, but, you know, Joe Judge comes from the Bill Belichick tree. So I think Devontae Freeman took the job with the Giants here because he has a chance to be the lead back. That's what he was looking for, an opportunity to be a lead back, not a 1B, not a 1C. So I don't know if we're going to see him with Saquon. But if Devontae Freeman does ball his ass off, though, the Giants will receive a comp pick next year, which is something that Bill Belichick has been absolutely infamous for. And the Giants are missing a few picks heading into next year's draft already. So that is something to look forward to. The one other point that I mentioned about the signing of Devontae Freeman, because I know Giants fans are upset right now, right? I mean, it's easy to think that we're not going anywhere. The offensive line doesn't seem like it's improved. Although when you go back and look at the film, Nick Gates actually didn't play that bad of a game. Cam Fleming needs to be tossed into the fucking sun, though.
Yes.
Cam Fleming is absolutely horrible. Andrew Thomas didn't pick up a stump blitz on the interception. These are some things that they have to work through. And unfortunately, it's a new line. So you have to know, and you know this, Tino. I mean, you coach high school football. It takes a while for a line to gel. You got to know what the guy next to you is capable of doing or what he's going to do before he does it. So I think that's going to come with time. I did see some improvements in the offensive line. But with Giants fans, they already consider this a lost season. So what the Devontae Freeman signing tells me, and I love it for this point and this point only, the Giants aren't going to fucking give up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much the fans want them to. I don't care how much the fans think that this is only going to be a 2-win team. Joe Judge and these New York football Giants are not going to quit. They are not going to roll over and play dead just because you think that they're going to. They're not going to tank for Trevor. So they're not giving up. That's what I like about this Devontae Freeman signing. It says no quit.
Yeah, no, Mage, I love that. I love that because I thought the same thing. I had to yell at a few people. They're like, tank for Trevor. And I see the Twitter trolls and everyone wants to say it for the Jets and the Giants because they just want to throw fucking dirt on their names whenever they can. Listen, if the fucking Giants did have it, guess what? They fucking won't. They're not, because they're not worse than the Jets. And the Jets are going to get 1-1. If not, they're getting 1-2. And despite all that, fuck that. The Giants are not going to finish worse than they did last year. If they couldn't even do it right to get Chase Young, how the fuck are they going to do it right to get fucking 1-1? They don't know how to tank. They tried it, and they did it terribly. So stop. And the fighting Joe Judges are going to whip it into shape. That's no question. Two things. I had the issue on the fourth and three with the play calling more than anything. It's not that the play calling sucked. It's that the lack thereof. They should go for it on that fourth down. Instead, they try to get the false start, and then I think they took a penalty to back him up, and then they punt. And they did that similar in the Pittsburgh game. They cross midfield and do the same shit. It's like, enough. Either go for it or not. Like, a team barely even respects your offense to begin with. They're not going to jump off sides. You don't even have a stable offensive line. So the coaching was lackluster again, and I think Jason Garrett is easing his way into it. I know it's going to take time and all that stuff, but there's some shit going on that, you know, hasn't looked the best or the brightest. And to your point on Devontae Freeman, one more thing. I know he wants to be a 1A, but Kareem Hunt should be a 1A, and I thought he was going to leave for free agency, and now he's in Cleveland for another 3 years on contract. So, you know, you never know how these things work, man. If he's happy here, we took the shot on him. Just, you never know sometimes.
You're right, Tino. And look, I mean, if anything, Saquon is the type of running back that could use a Robin to his Batman, right? Because he can't keep taking that beating. Let Saquon do what Saquon does best. You know, let him run outside the tackles, use him in the passing game, have somebody else. I thought, you know, honestly, I thought that the Giants would take a shot on A.J. Dillon this year. A.J. Dillon was one of the guys that had the Giants projected to take. He went sooner than I thought he would, but I would have liked A.J. Dillon in this offense to spell Saquon Barkley to pick up some of those hard yards, save Saquon Barkley usage. So, yeah, I mean, is it possible that he returns? Maybe. Maybe he likes his coaching staff. Maybe he likes the atmosphere, and he wants to come back next year. So another point, though, aside from the Robin to Saquon's Batman, I feel like on that final drive, there were so many opportunities with that defense sitting back. And the biggest flaw about that final drive was that the Giants had no timeouts. They couldn't stop the clock. But if they did, that defense was sitting back so far. Man, I just kept having flashbacks to that Tampa Bay game. There were perfect opportunities for Danny to actually take off. I think that the Giants need to get Danny Dimes involved in some more design run plays. Utilize his legs, man. I mean, this is a guy that has some wheels on him. Make the defenses, because now without Saquon, the defenses are going to make him try and beat them. Don't have him just do it through the air. Have him do it with his legs too. I mean, defenses have to accommodate Lamar Jackson a different way. Is Danny Dimes Lamar Jackson? No, but he does have some speed to him. So you got to make the defense, keep the defenses honest, make them play him differently.
So now with all that said, obviously Devontae Freeman is someone we want to target on the waiver wire in fantasy, although I can't do it in the one league you already have him in. There are other leagues I will look to target Devontae. Aside from that, there's some other guys in this Giants 49ers matchup that are intriguing and they're available. I want to talk about a guy not in the running back position first, and it's someone that we're familiar with as Giants fans, and I'm not too sure if you saw a lot of him, but Jordan Reed had a sudden resurgence with the San Francisco 49ers. And God, I have this terrible feeling that he's going to score against the Giants this week. It's just, I already know it's going to be like 2015 all over again. I mean, he went off. He had 7 receptions for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Jets. I would not be surprised if he had a similar stat line against the Giants this week. I think our defense is a lot better, but I just don't see anyone on this 49ers team that's going to do anything other than him. Everyone's hurt, Mage. Tevin Coleman's out. Raheem Mostert's out. You could address Jordan Reed if you want, but let's just address the fact that this game is just teams that are shell of themselves phasing off against each other. I'm not sure what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, George Kittle might be back this week. So, I mean, that gives San Fran a weapon, I suppose. I don't know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're trotting out there Brandon Ayuk, who didn't do anything last week, Mohamed Sanu, I don't even know if he was targeted.
It's Kendrick Bourne. It's really the Kendrick Bourne show, and that's about it. Bourne's owned in like 2% of leagues, though, so.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry, but do any of these wide receivers scare you?
No. Yeah.
And, I mean, who do you have back there? Jerick McKinnon? Jerick McKinnon's got some wheels on him. You got to be careful with that. You know, and the offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers is improved.
Of course, yeah.
So, but they're going to have Nick Mullins back there throwing the football also, who the Giants beat last time.
It's going to be close. Everything's going to have to be short yardage. There's no way they're taking many chances. They don't have any barn burners. That's why I think with the two tight end sets – if Kittle's back with Jordan Reed, I think that's where their money's going to be if they have any shot at keeping up with the Giants.
You know, I'm going to have to ask you, man. I mean, what's the line on this game?
The Giants are 4.5-point dogs.
I mean, that's got to be a trap game, no? Right? I mean, if you're going to take the Giants, I mean, any given week, wouldn't this be a nice week to...
Maze, you read my mind, and I think the fans of this show are going to know that it's beautiful that you are saying what I just said earlier in this episode. I said the Giants are at 4.5 in a game that, yes, we lost Saquon, but the 49ers lost everybody on their team. Defensively, and I saw this tweet out there, you can make an argument that Nick Bosa was the 49ers' Saquon Barkley. Yes, they're a better team. And if Nick Bosa wasn't enough, they also lost their starting quarterback and their starting running back. So there's that whole thing. But they lost Solomon Thomas. They don't have Richard Sherman. I think they lost D4 too. Like, I mean, does this defense scare you now? You know, does the offense scare you? Probably not. I don't think this defense scares me.
Richard Sherman is also on the IR as well.
Yeah. So I think this is going to be a Danny game. And I would not be surprised if you see guys like Devontae Freeman make an immediate impact. Maybe Evan Ingram. I know he's the only guy left because we won't have Shep probably with his turf toe. Golden Tate, I guess we have in there. But I don't know. Yeah, I just – this 49ers team doesn't scare me. This would be a week to take the Giants. I said to take them with the points, but I'd like to think the Fighting Joe Judges are going to come out and try to win this game.
Well, the only thing that scares the shit out of me, Tino, is that we thought the Chicago Bears was a winnable game.
I keep doing this to myself. But they covered. They covered last week. This is the only time I bet on them. I told them to bet with the points. They covered. They should have won.
And, I mean, if you watch that game, I mean, they had Mitch Trubisky and Walter Payton in the backfield.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, David Montgomery, everybody's been waiting. Talking about fantasy football, right? Everybody's been waiting for his coming out party. It just so happens it's against the New York Giants.
Everyone's I mean, coming out parties against the Giants, Maze.
I mean, honestly, like, if I had to look at a game plan from the San Francisco 49ers' point of view, I'm going to have to try to run Jerick McKinnon down the Giants' throat.
Yeah.
Look, the Giants' defense right now, which I don't think – I saw this. I haven't verified this yet. I may want to if I got time. But I saw a stat that said that the New York Giants right now are a top five defense in football.
I would love to hear it. I think you told me that. By the way, they had two picks last week. I told you that they really needed to step up and get a turnover, and they had two picks last week, which was great because Mitch, if you go a game and Mitch doesn't turn the ball over once against your defense, there's some serious questions to be upheld.
So I am looking at this right now. Let's see. The New York Giants are second in the NFL in terms of passing yards allowed. And the New York Giants are – their one defense got shredded. They're currently 24th in rushing yards allowed. So I'm not sure exactly where that puts them overall. Points four, I mean, they're getting thrashed pretty good. But they're still – they're 11th in the league in terms of points four. So, not too bad, man, honestly. This defense has played a lot better. Oh, yeah, there it is. All right. So, overall, the Giants are ranked fourth in the NFL in terms of yards. Giants have the second-best pass defense in the league. But, again, they got shredded. They have the 24th-best rush defense. And I made this point earlier, Tino. So, I know we're talking about the 49ers, but being that we're talking about this Giants defense, do you feel confident in this offensive line going forward?
I'd like to think so.
Okay. So do you believe in Daniel Jones?
Yeah, I'm a Dan stan. Come on.
All right. Do you think that the Giants probably have a decent running game? We have to see what Devontae Freeman looks like, but you think the Giants have a decent run game?
I actually think our running game is not good.
But with the addition of Devontae Freeman,
well, as of right now, we're in a good spot. Yes, we're in a good spot. But I really like this defense, Mish. I do like this defense a lot.
So with a fourth-ranked defense, right, in the NFL in terms of total yards allowed, dude, I saw somebody suggest this on Twitter, and I was like, eh, but then I think about it. Do the Giants possibly trade for a wide receiver?
They should. Allen Robinson, first reported on Clapback Sports.
I mean, if you really think that this offensive line can be somewhere around average, if you think that Danny Dimes can actually be good – and if you think that you have a run game between Devontae Freeman and Lewis with a top five defense, Why not?
Well, we need to trade for a receiver, more importantly, because everyone keeps dropping the fucking ball, including Evan Ingram. I already talked about it. The Giants have the second most drops in the NFL right now. And
well, Ratley, who –
wide receivers.
Ratley, who didn't drop anything with Cleveland, suddenly can't catch a cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's been bad also.
Yeah.
But coming back to the San Francisco 49ers, I mean, for the 49ers, I would guess that they have to try and run the football. And somebody else put out a tweet earlier where he actually did all the snap counts for the New York Giants versus the Bears. And believe it or not, man, because Murph and I said this on the podcast before you joined, but we had thought that the Giants would run a 3-3-5 defense based on all of their personnel decisions in the offseason. Most snaps, three defensive linemen. Most snaps, three linebackers. Most snaps, five DBs. That was their formation a majority of the time, a 3-3-5. So it's kind of crazy that we saw that, and everybody that we talked to, including Montre Hardage, who was with the Giants, said that they thought they'd run more of a 3-4-4-3 defense. We actually saw a majority of 3-3-5 against the Bears. So I think that really plays well for the New York Giants as well, because they have athletic linebackers. Bradbury right now looks like a true lockdown corner. He's outplayed his contract through two games. But the more interesting thing about all those snaps was that they took their two best defensive linemen off the field when they needed them most. Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams weren't in on those final drives against the Bears, man. I mean, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, Patrick Graham has done a lot of questionable things recently. I mean, we can just talk about the fact that he continues to call man coverage on 3rd and 8. Hence, one of the reasons why David Montgomery broke that gigantic play for a touchdown was because everyone was locked up crisscross applesauce and fucking ran into each other. And there were just walls of players wheeled it off for fucking Montgomery to cut back. Yeah, man, I don't know what the defense was doing. I was not surprised to see that 3-3-5. We had talked about it before. I think it fits this team best. I don't know why Dexter and Leonard are not in the game. I mean, that's just absolutely inexcusable. But again, we still managed to hold a good defense. And that's what's the frustrating part. Like, we just need to get off on fucking third down. And we couldn't do it the entire Bears game. We couldn't do it against the Steelers either. And it fucking kills us. In third and longs, we just lose a crossing route. And then that's all they need. So I don't know. I'd like to see that improve. Luckily, I don't think anyone could really do that on the 49ers against us this week, because there's literally nobody I'm scared of other than Jordan Reed and maybe the ghost of George Kittle, who probably won't be 100%. I don't know. If I'm the 49ers, I'm not rushing him back. I know they really want him, and he could be a gigantic game changer, but I would obviously pump the brakes after seeing what happened this week. I mean, look at Cortland Sutton. He wasn't supposed to play this week. Played this week. Now he's fucking hurt. And his whole knee shredded, so – no.
Yeah, well, Cortland Sutton had a shoulder injury, I believe. It was an AC joint, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he tore his knee, so.
But I'm just saying, sometimes just give a guy a break. Give a guy a break. Just keep him off the field. Let him focus on getting healthy sometimes.
It's hard, though, man. 16 games.
I get it. I
mean, you know this. I mean, every game counts. It's not like baseball or basketball where, you know, LeBron takes every third game off. You know, football, every game counts. So the Giants are expected to sign Devontae Freeman. The question is, I don't think he's going to be active against San Fran. So I think we're probably going to look at Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman. I don't think there's enough time between now and then to really get Devontae Freeman in the building and acclimated to see him on Sunday. What do you think?
We'll see. I mean, there was a similar situation with Fournette, you know what I mean? In the Bucs, he got there very late and he didn't really play game one, and then obviously got more reps game two. So I could see something like that. He may be active, though. I will say that. I think if they sign him, they'll probably put him in pads and see what he looks like out there, maybe get him in a third down or something like that. Who knows? You know, switch it up. Because it'll be hard for me to believe that they want Deion Lewis, ideally, in between the tackles on first and second down. I mean, if they have to do it, they probably will. If they have Goldman active, then maybe he'll be the guy inside. But I don't know. That would be a little small of a backfield without Devontae back there. And I know he lacks height, but he's a little chunkier and can run in between the tackles a little bit better. So I would not be surprised if I saw him at least on the sideline suited up. He just might be given the Leonard Fournette deal where he's probably going to get limited touches. Maybe he'll get a goal line touch or something like that, you know, which would be cool to see.
So we got the Giants 49ers matching up this week. You mentioned the injuries. So Saquon, torn ACL, done for the season, right? Mostert has a sprain. He's going to miss this game. Tevin Coleman injured his knee. What are you doing, man? Are you jumping on the Devontae Freeman or Jerick McKinnon waiver wire to grab him?
I would probably go more McKinnon this week. For me, I'm kind of further back. I feel like a lot of people might jump on the Devontae Freeman train. But with all the questions on Deion Lewis, I mean, before the Giants signed Devontae Freeman, I saw Deion Lewis as one of the higher waiver claims to begin with. So I don't really trust 49ers running backs, but if I were like streaming for the week, I'd probably go McKinnon just because he had success last week on very limited work, and I just don't see how they're going to get anyone else really in there. I mean, look, McKinnon's a viable fantasy option when healthy. I just like Deion Lewis and PPR, and you know, Devontae Freeman, I guess that's a to be seen, whereas I think Jerick McKinnon has to get the touches. Honestly, I eye a lot of guys over them in terms of RBs on the waiver wire, and I'm glad you bring this up. Also, one more note on the 49ers running backs. It would be Jeff Wilson Jr. behind McKinnon, but that doesn't scare me all too much. Let's talk about another big running back that's out and is going to miss some time, and his backup is now key top of the waiver wire right now in Mike Davis for Christian.
Before we go on to Mike Davis, though,
okay,
right? I just want to give your fantasy listeners fair warning.
Okay.
Right? Be careful and about spending your fab budget if you have it. So only reason why I'm telling you this is because I saw somebody in one of my leagues. Of course, I had Devontae Freeman in a league in which I also had Saquon Barkley, but I drafted Devontae Freeman. Dynasty League, got him late. He spent about a third of his fab budget on both Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman.
Wow.
Only to have Devontae Freeman sign with the New York Giants after the waivers cleared. So be careful. Now, the one thing that you said too is I agree with you about if I'm streaming a player, I'm going with Jerick McKinnon this week. However, I'm looking at Devontae Freeman because I think he has longer season-long value than Jerick McKinnon does. Mm-hmm. So on to your question about Mike Davis. The one thing that I found interesting about Mike Davis, though, is he didn't really run the ball.
No, he didn't. I was surprised. He didn't run it at all, I don't think.
So, I mean, what did he have? 7 catches for like 9 targets?
Receptions for 70 yards.
I mean, if you're talking about replacing Christian McCaffrey, that's probably what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because, you know, McCaffrey has the upside in PPR leagues. I don't know, man. Like, this comes back to what we said about the line with the Giants and the 49ers. Like, this seems like a trap to me, bro. Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It seems scary to me.
I've seen the Mike Davis story before. You remember he was on the Bears?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And who else was he with?
But he was with Matt Forte, but that might have been too long ago. I don't know.
Didn't he go to the Eagles also?
I'm not 100% sure. I just remember Mike Davis on the Bears. That's all I can remember. And Big Mike Davis, I just remember he was a goal line guy, but he didn't run the ball at all in Carolina.
So my only thing with Mike Davis is I'll put the bid in if I'm a McCaffrey owner. Aside from that, I don't know, man. I think there's a better players out on the waiver that I would – I'm not too keen on handcuffing guys. I want to pick up the best player available. So if I have Christian McCaffrey and Mike Davis is available – then I might take the shot on him. I don't know what you think, but there are other guys out there like a Joshua Kelly that might still be available if it's not too late that I like more.
Yeah, so I'm huge on Josh Kelly. I think the interesting thing would be most people who have CMC probably don't have too high of a waiver claim if you don't use it in terms of fab. So you might be in a position where someone probably jumps on Mike Davis already and you're going to have to get all these other guys behind him because of the hype on Mike Davis. To your point, it does kind of seem like a trap, but I like Josh Kelly. That's a guy that, to me, just looks like a football player. I mean, he's balanced. He had 23 touches last week, got looks out of the backfield. I know Eckler's there, but you saw Melvin Gordon and Eckler get touches in that backfield last year. That doesn't factor for me. Josh Kelly just looks like a football player, dude. He looks like a fucking man-child. I think he's 22, 23. He just runs the ball hard, and he's from Cali. I just connect the dots. It all makes sense to me. I just think he's a guy that's going to be a Charger for a little bit. And whether it's dynasty or not, if you're trying to trade and try to get him, I'm trying to do the same. Get him off some people's taxi squad for whatever. Because back-to-back 10-point fantasy weeks, regardless of the format, if he starts falling in the end zone, I mean, you're looking at a guy that is really going to factor in the RB department of fantasy. Even though his projections and where he is on the waivers might not reciprocate that, I think that's where he will be sooner rather than later.
One of the biggest advice that I can probably give fantasy owners is to partially ignore the emails that you will get from groups like Fantasy Pros, et cetera, telling them what their top waiver priorities are. Because let me tell you something, that's based on popularity. That's not really based on much else, right? That's based on waiver claims. That's not based on any sort of analysis. Here's the outlook for this person. That's basically who everybody else is grabbing. So be careful about the trending waiver wire pickups. I want to look for the guys that people aren't looking for because I don't have much competition for them if they're available, especially if you're talking about fat budgets, right? So a lot of people will probably be in on Drew Sample this week. Look for a guy like Dalton Schultz, who most people may not put a claim in on. He had a huge game this week, although he didn't really do anything the week before, but Jarwin just got hurt. So I don't know if there was anybody else that you wanted to touch on running back wise, but again, I just want to reiterate the point about being careful with that. So yeah, okay, Mike Davis is Christian McCaffrey's backup, but is there a better option available, right? Same thing like, I'm going to put all my fat budget on Deion Lewis because I lost Saquon Barkley. No, look at who else, right? Like I would put a modest amount on Deion Lewis, and then, you know, I would look elsewhere. I mean, at this point now, we know Devontae Freeman has signed with the Giants, so Devontae Freeman should be your top priority and not Deion Lewis, but some people already have waivers already clear today, though. So
yeah, for sure. But I think all that advice is still, you know, very important, even moving forward, because I think, if anything, these injuries are trending in that direction. So, again, here's another thing. Don't do it this week, because Mike Davis could get hurt next week, and then we're looking at Reggie Bonifant as the guy in Carolina. I mean, injuries are rolling right now. It does not hate on anybody, offensive, defensive, special teams. People are getting hurt. It's crazy. They're dropping like flies. I mean,
well, Tino,
last week. So,
not to cut you off, but that's a really great point that you bring up, though, and I think that people should be aware of that, right? Mm-hmm. Don't wait until somebody gets hurt. It's okay to be proactive and say, hey, I think this guy is eventually going to get signed, or I think this guy's going to have a role. Look for those guys, right? So, I mean, shit, right now, if you're a Zeke Elliott owner, if Pollard's available on that waiver wire, yeah, you better go and get him now. I know redrafts tend to be, the benches tend to be a little more shallow than Dynasty, but start to look for those guys now, man. Don't wait until your guy gets hurt. Because if you're in 12, 14 team leagues, guess what? There's 13 other teams looking for that same guy that you need. So be proactive on the waiver wire. Look for guys ahead of time. You started off by saying IRA had Devontae Freeman when you went to go look for him. So poo-poo, right? Again, just be proactive about it, man.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And another good example is it actually just happened to me. I picked up Malcolm Brown. He slipped to me in some waivers last week, and I was happy to get him. He had a great week. I even picked him up. I was proactive on him early on in the season. I figured he'd be a starter. Did well. Went to start him this week. Hurt immediately. Now, the last guy I wanted to talk on, and he's probably a waiver claim option now, is Daryl Henderson. He's back in the mix again. 12 carries, 81 yards, a touchdown, 2 receptions for 40 yards. Malcolm Brown literally had surgery on his finger. I don't know to what extent that means. They're saying the only issue is him carrying the ball. Cam Akers has like a dislocated rib, so I think he's going to be out. But the entire Rams backfield is falling apart. So right now it's Daryl Henderson. But again, who knows? Like, it's crazy what's going on in the NFL right now. Oh,
it makes me so happy to hear you say Henderson, because Henderson was my darling last year in Dynasty Leagues. I talked this guy up so much only to have him be like the loudest thud possible. but again, I drafted him in a lot of leagues in which I had Gurley as well. So I wanted to handcuff. Mm-hmm. So Malcolm Brown, man, I mean, if he has a finger, it depends. Is it, you know, his ball carrying hand? I don't know which finger was hurt, but if that's going to impede him, then so be it. And with Cam Akers, I believe it was a rib cartilage issue. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any broken bones or anything.
I don't know if you can dislocate your rib, but it was something that I made that up there, but
it's a slipped rib.
Yeah, he was eating too many ribs is actually the report.
But and not only that, Cam Akers wasn't really looking great before that anyway. I mean, launching himself into defenders, I have no idea what the hell he was doing, but he basically finished every play by like diving like right into something. Daryl Henderson, if you can get him, again, other people might be looking at Deion Lewis and Mike Davis. If you can sneak in and get him, that's not bad. I do like the guy. I liked him last year as well.
Well, Mage, that's about it. I appreciate you coming on. Hey, if you guys want to hear more, don't get sad. Don't be upset the interview's over. All you got to do is tune into Clapback Sports as well. Mage, why don't you tell the people where they can find you and where they can listen to us as well, other than on the New York Football Pod?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at @TheMage_NFL. That's THEMAJ _NFL. And you can find our podcast starring Tino Rodriguez as well at @ClapBack_Sports. Pretty simple. You can follow us on Instagram as well as Twitter.
That was great, Mage. And yes, please follow us on all that stuff. Follow Mage. We know our stuff about fantasy. We're just getting started. We're not even a quarter of the way in, probably less, week three. I don't even know. I guess it depends on when your playoff starts, but shit's already hit the fan. Anyone who owns Saquon and McCaffrey for some reason in a league, I'm talking to Mage. I'm sorry, bro. That's really shitty. Just don't spend all your fab on Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman.
And, you know, I'm just gonna pat myself on the back real quick, Tino, before we chime out. But I shared a tweet with a group that I'm in. So 3 years ago, 2017, I put out a tweet. And I said, go and get Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara right now off the waiver wire if they're still available. They're going to be top 5 or top 10 running backs from this point forward. So that's the type of advice that you're getting here.
Yeah. Aaron Jones put up like 50 points this week. So
I'll tell you, Aaron Jones is one of my guys, dude. I love him. I saw him in that Dallas game. And I think Aaron Jones knows I'm one of his biggest supporters. He's liked a lot of my tweets and he follows too. So Aaron Jones is awesome, man. I mean, that guy's vision is, he has great running back vision, but we ended the podcast. I don't want to go on anymore. Make sure you tune into Clapback Sports. Check me out on Twitter for more fantasy information as well. So
peace. Thanks, Mage. That interview with the Mage was brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Guys, thanks for coming out. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I hope you enjoyed my discussion with the Mage. I hope you enjoyed the episodes. Take my picks. We are pumping out winners. Follow us on all social media platforms at NY Football Pod. You can also download, like, rate, and subscribe wherever podcasts are available. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, the website, BLEAB.com. Guys, for coming out again. Be safe. Talk to you next week.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.